In a world with plenty of wrestling podcasts, three guys have decided that they can produce a wrestling podcast. It's going to be different. How will we go about doing that? We have no clue whatsoever. Three Dudes of Doom, yet another wrestling podcast where we will take on the sport of kings and talk about this thing we love called pro wrestling. We're not sure how it's going to go, but we're glad you're here. Here's tonight's episode of The Three Dudes of Doom. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of The Three Dudes of Doom. I am Sergio Barrera, and I am here with my other two dudes, George Alvarado and Vic Vespa. Gentlemen, we are just 2 weeks out from WrestleMania, and my God, what the hell is going on? That's going to be the question that we'll talk about tonight. Welcome back, guys.
Oh, man. They tried to stop us. They tried to shut us down. They tried to say no. Not today, Three Dudes of Doom. And we said, you know what? We ain't going to give up. We are back in this thing. Welcome back, Internet.
Charlotte Flair just won the Women's Champion for SmackDown. So, yeah, boom.
What in, man.
Spoilers, man.
Man, well, hopefully by the time people hear this. We'll come back. But you know, I got to tell you, we've been off for 2 weeks. A couple of weeks ago, it was some glitches that occurred from a system standpoint, but we got that worked out. But then I glitched, and man, yeah, you don't even want to know. But let's just say between allergies and weather changes, the flu got me into a headlock, man. So thank you guys, to the both of you, for understanding, and of course, thanks to our listeners for being patient with us. But we are back, and we're WrestleMania focused, guys. I want to take a moment to issue a bit of an apology. Several weeks ago, we started the WrestleMania match recap, and it was fun to do. But as we've talked over the last couple of days, we understand that with time dwindling towards the biggest show of the year, it's important that we talk about the circumstances of where we are. And so we're going to go ahead and lay to rest for this year, at least, the WrestleMania match recap. We know we owe you guys a show. We had the listeners vote, and they voted Rock and Austin and WrestleMania 19. And so I'm going to sort of create a little bit of a chip that we're going to hold on to that we owe our fans. And we're going to come back with a way to make it up for them. So gentlemen, I think you would agree. Much has happened apparently tonight as well that really sets us on the path to WrestleMania, but I still have doubts as to whether or not this card will have the WrestleMania type impact I think it should, but that's just me. So where to begin, guys? Let's talk top of the card. The women's championship that will be Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch will main event WrestleMania, historical moment. It's already been announced. I kind of like that in that we didn't have to wait to find out during the show. Let's start there. Where are we? Vic Vespa, get us going. Where are we now? And what do we think about the current state of this match as we are just around the corner from the big show?
This,
not
this
Paul
should
White.
Be... I like that. This should be everything for me, this match. And in a lot of ways, it is everything for me right now. I'm on board with Rousey. I'm going to say it. She is a hell of a worker inside the wrestling ring and before that. And she should be a part of any talk of evolution for women in sports. She should always be a part of that conversation. The thing that bothers me about this match is that it needs three people to main event. That's what they're thinking. This match needs three people or it wouldn't be a main event. If it was just Becky and Ronda, or if it was just Charlotte and Ronda, or if it was Charlotte Becky, it would main event is what they're essentially saying in kind of a way. And that's what bugs me about this whole thing. I don't want to even put this on any of the competitors' heads. I think they're fantastic. You know, I love Becky Lynch. I love Charlotte. And I'm starting to really honestly like Ronda Rousey. So I don't know. There's that conflict in my mind kind of takes me out of it a little bit, and that's upsetting, but big picture, it may not even matter that much.
Yeah. So as you look at the landscape of this particular matchup and with the development of, you know, what we just found out right now, I want to make sure that you're not just messing with us. You are saying that Charlotte Flair has won the SmackDown Women's title. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm just going to give you a little context right before the match happened between her and Asuka. Becky Lynch cut this promo saying, you know, that this was supposed to be between her and Ronda Rousey, which, you know, to agree with Joel, that to Vic, that's where, you know, 100% agree. But here we added this other element of Charlotte Flair and who she was. And now when Becky Lynch said, oh, Charlotte Flair doing what Charlotte Flair does, and that's be a third wheel, that's when her music hit. Everybody thought it was going to be just a one-on-one. Announcers were surprised when the ring announcer said for the SmackDown Women's Champion. And sure enough, she won the title from Asuka, and now Kurt Angle's out there. So yeah, that might 100%, she just won the title. And that's going to be a different element, and that's just going to be, again, that's adding more to the storyline of why are they now including this into here, and what is she going to bring to the match now?
Yeah. Guys, are we unifying the women's titles? Do you think this is where we're headed?
I don't know.
I love the pronounced silence, because we're obviously all thinking that that's a possibility. Especially when you consider that there is one women's tag team title, there's the possibility of unifying. I've always felt that a unified title, whether it's the men's or the women's, is a good thing. And you know, you guys know the WWE goes in waves. They love the brand split. They love split titles, but then they bring them back together. It's just sort of rotation over time. And I think that if you do this with the women's championship, if that's where we're headed, because it does, to George's point, it adds this unique element of like, well, if Rousey, you know, I'm sorry, if Lynch, oh shoot, you know what I just thought? If they create a stipulation where Lynch pins Charlotte, she can win that title, or if someone beats Rousey, they win that title, that's how you keep the belt on Rousey.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh. Yeah, mind blown. Okay, everybody, we do not have to watch WrestleMania. Sergio just completely ruined it for us. So there we go.
No. But no, do you see what I'm saying? We want to look at this as an opportunity to say, hey, you know, all this talk about Charlotte's a third wheel and she doesn't even deserve to be there by Lynch, and now she's the third wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, not, you know, by all means, Charlotte Flair is not a jobber, but pretty much because of who Ronda Rousey is, who they want to keep, you know, who they want to promote till God knows when, you know, that's their way of giving Becky Lynch that awesome WrestleMania moment, and that's the way of giving her that title, and here's Ronda Rousey keeping the title. So that's definitely a great theory. And I totally didn't think about that. But then again, this just happened 5 minutes ago, so I've
right.
really processed it.
we haven't gotten the script yet in the mail, so.
No, definitely. They forgot. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, Vic, let me ask you this. When we look at the landscape of this match, talk about, and in your own opinion, put into perspective the importance of it now being the main event. Regardless of circumstances and such right now, I'm sure we'll hear more next week on the last push. But why do you, if you'll get us started, I want to hear from each of you. Why is this match being the main event so important?
I mean, it's the first time the women's title has main evented at WrestleMania. That's historic. In the biggest wrestling company in the world. And, you know, it owes a lot to, obviously not the writing staff, but No, I didn't mean that. That's awful. it's owed to these wrestlers, you know, getting over, getting the crowd to love them, essentially, which is so weird when you say it out loud.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's work, you know, just doing things, like constantly having to, you know, come up with an idea to, you know, get people to react to something you're doing. You know, that's essentially what they're doing. You know, and it's a tough business, I think, wrestling. But yeah, just for women's sports in general, you know, flags like this being flown high is important. And I don't think you can say it any other way.
Yeah. George, in your estimation, as you look at this, what are some things that you like about it, and why, for you, is this important?
Well, here's the thing: is with the exception of all the gimmick matches, and I'm talking about like the the Playboy Bunny tag team match that they did that one
night,
or the 30 woman, you know, title match versus AJ Lee. All those gimmick matches, with the exception of those, and I'm talking about the good ones, the Victoria versus Jazz versus Trish Stratus versus pretty much any of her matches, any of the matches with Lita, those were WrestleMania-worthy matches. But, you know, to have this first WrestleMania in a very long time where the spotlight is on the women's division, where the spotlight is on two main event level calibers being Becky Lynch and Charlotte, and then you have this celebrity caliber, which, you know, Ronda Rousey being on this whole different level of, you know, just pretty much this whole different level. You combine those three different elements, you're going to have a focus on WWE. You talk about you know, they were on Sportscaster, was it today or yesterday? No, today. They were on Sportscaster, which, or SportsCenter, on ESPN, which, you know, yes, they probably could have gone alone, Becky Lynch and Charlotte, but the fact that they have Ronda Rousey, which she was on there because of UFC, you know, this is just the promotion that WWE needs, and the fact that it has to do with three deserving women, you know, what more is needed to say? It's a long time coming. I'm happy to be able to see it, just because, again, the women do deserve this type of exposure, this, you know, where they don't need to, you know, have a bra and panties match, or they don't need to have a, what is it, a pudding match or a mud match or whatever. It's legit wrestling, guys. A legitimate wrestling match. They're going to have legitimate holds. They're going to give their own spotlight, and they're after each other's blood with the storyline that's being built.
Yeah.
You just hype me up, George. You just hype me up. I'm ready for this thing. Let's do it right now.
Okay, so let me throw a dose of cold water on you guys for just a second. And, you know, the old adage, the old mantra and phrase in wrestling has always been card subject to change. I'm reading this from the Wikipedia page for WrestleMania 35, so as always, I'll qualify that if I use Wikipedia, I understand it is a source that is written by the people for the people. It says the following, and we'll know if this is even an issue by the end of tonight into tomorrow. It simply says, the winner of a fatal four-way match between Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, Carmella, and Naomi, 26-2019 episode tonight of SmackDown, will get a SmackDown Women's Championship match at WrestleMania 35. Do we know if that match is still on?
I've been watching SmackDown all night. I have yet to see any kind of exposure. But here's the thing. I don't know if you guys watch SmackDown as much. I know, you know, we talk about it, but it's one of those where the last couple SmackDowns, there has been at least one mixed segment or one mixed match. So it wouldn't be surprised if they were advertising it and they just completely scrapped it because of what's happening right now.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I love hearing you guys talk about why this is important to you. I'll weigh in with you know, everything you said makes total sense to me, and I completely agree. The three of us have always said, at least in the last several weeks, whether it's on the show or in our conversations on our own, we've always said that this is the match that has to be the one to headline. It has to be the – it's time. You know,
yeah.
Folks won't always get a behind-the-scenes glimpse of what we talk about before we do shows and such, but Vic, you're very passionate about the evolution and the history of what women have been allowed to achieve. But let's be honest. It's about what they've been allowed to do. And in the past, they were a sideshow. They were not a focus, which is a shame for stars like Beth Phoenix, for, you know, Lita and Trish Stratus, Beth Phoenix. They had their moments because they forced their way into the spotlight. China did the same thing. But for the most part, those are the anomalies in the history in which women are not utilized very well within the context of professional wrestling, and particularly the WWE. This match, when you think about it in the context of the last, say, just 3 years, you take the Women's Royal Rumble, you take the Women's Tag Titles. Yes, all of these are major steps forward, and they're historic, they're important. But this match, to me, is the culmination of that journey. It says you have to pay attention to every athlete in this sport that we love. And regardless of gender, you've now begun that almost permanent blurring of the line where you say it isn't just the guys that can draw. This is about saying the journey is complete, and now look at us and watch what we do in the next few years. So it's literally, I mean, I get chills when I think about it. I know you guys do. And for it to be, you know, I was geeked when they did the Women's Royal Rumble, the very first one, and they let it go on last. We talked about it that very night. Mm-hmm. This is huge, and I think people understand that. And I'm excited about whatever happens next. I think that the WWE has righted the ship insofar as this match is concerned, but there's still a week and a half left, so we'll see what happens with all that. So.
How are you going to screw it up now, guys?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Exactly. So before we continue, we've got some time. Like we said, we're going to bypass the WrestleMania match recap. We will have a five count tonight. We're looking forward to having a good buddy of ours on the show. More on that in a bit. But in the coming weeks, we're going to really do a preview of WrestleMania next week, you know, sort of post-mortem afterwards, and talk about, you know, how it went. We'll talk about NXT as well. So it's going to be WrestleMania, WrestleMania, WrestleMania. But that's, I mean, let's face it, that's where we are. Another match, guys, that stands out to me for, again, what for me has been probably, in my opinion, the most piss-poor run-up to a WrestleMania on almost all counts. And one of the matches that stands out for me in that regard is Triple H and Batista. We have Batista come out 2 weeks ago, basically throw a tantrum, a nonsensical tantrum, because I don't know what he wanted. I don't know how Triple H
knew.
I want
to talk about this.
Right. So let's talk about it. Now there's a stipulation that is, again, now we're faced with a retirement match. Triple H has agreed that he will put up his career against Batista. I'm not excited about this, guys. Vic, get us started.
Strap in, kids. This is going to be a long one. So I want to love this one. I want to love this one. I'm not a fan of Batista. Okay, start over. I wasn't a fan of Batista through his entire WWE career. I was not a fan of Batista. Since he's left and done Guardians and he did a few other roles, I really kind of started to like him and get the idea that he wasn't such the flash in the pan that I thought he was. As an actor, he takes some really interesting choices and roles. You know, he could go, you know, straight, you know, superhero route, like, you know, The Rock or any other, you know, wrestler to do movies and whatnot, but he's, you know, taken, you know, that freaking Guardians role and made it so wonderful. And it's just this idiot oaf guy, you know? So I really kind of respected him based off of, you know, the kind of work that I saw him him accepting in Hollywood. And so when the idea of him coming back occurred, I was like, oh, okay, that'd be cool. I'd be interested in that. And then it happened, and it was so freaking awful.
Awful.
That exchange between Triple H and himself, oh my God, it completely lost all of the credit that he had built up that I just immaculately described prior. It just destroyed all that. And now I'm just like, I don't even care. And Triple H's music is done by Motorhead. That should be the match for me for WrestleMania. And I'm just, I hope they can do something to inject something into it. There were bits and pieces of Triple H's soliloquy on Raw that moved me a little bit, but not enough to be like, oh, this is something I'm interested in again.
Yeah. Yeah, the silence is very telling because, you know,
I can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to because, George, in your estimation, tell us your thoughts on the buildup to this match.
Give me what I want. Give me what I want. Give me what I want. I'm sure that I heard that in three different tones, and that just was like mind blowing. I was like, I didn't know that one phrase can be used and to show different emotion. No, I'm just kidding. I can care less about that. That match, I was literally looking forward to that match. That whole, you know, that little heel moment that they had at the Evolution reunion on SmackDown.
Yeah.
A couple months back, I was like, this is really good. Because, you know, they planted that seed and, you know, a part of me did want to see Triple H versus Batista one more time. Two brawlers going at it back and forth, you know, really cool. Two guys that I knew. Well, I feel like that promo was just, it's like the rug was taken out from me and I don't want to even bear watching that match now. But at the same time, I do want to watch the match. Just because I know those two guys are still great. But yeah, like it's, I don't know. To give you guys a little context, and here's how I feel. The moment that Drax says in the Avengers, where he goes, I've mastered the art of standing
yes.
still. You can't see me. That's how I feel when Sergio's asking me this question of what do I feel like this match? Because I feel like I don't want him to see me right now to ask me that question. Because I don't know how to answer other than that promo disgusted me, but I want to see the match. I don't know. I just don't know.
You make a great point. I think we would all agree that when we saw that it was maybe 30-second exchange on SmackDown, the reunion, that Batista, he made an offhand snide remark, perfectly delivered. He got the sideways glance from Triple H, and it flashes forward. It starts to happen, and everything about Batista's presentation that night was what this should be. He's coming off as this whiny diva. The security guys. What in the world? What I'm supposed to buy? Batista is scared of Triple H, but yet I'm supposed to want to see him. You can tell I don't really give a shit about this match. But I mean, the presentation was. I mean, forget the promo. That was ridiculously horrible. I mean, Batista. It's like. He must have said, yeah, I mean, give me what I want. I'm sitting there going, even though in my head I know what I want, I'm like, just tell him.
I think he said,
because he doesn't know.
I think he said, give it me at one point. He was like, give it to me.
Oh,
give
it was
me.
Awful. But if we look at just the visual, you're Batista. What? If you're doing that, you should flip it and he should have been in the ring. And Triple H should have been on the stage. Everything about that visual was wrong because it put Triple H in a dominant position where he could have, you know, the way this should have turned out on that night, it should have been Triple H saying, no, you don't demand from me. You've been gone. And then in the subsequent weeks, if I write this storyline, Batista starts to take people out. Some NXT kids, some Vince McMahon, and then this coming week or this week, because you need a couple week buffer, it's Stephanie. And then Triple H says, okay, you want to do this? We're going to do this. That's the book right there. And yet we get this whiny, like, you're going to give me what I want. And like, I don't want him to give you what you want. Like, I don't care. And so they're going to have to, I mean, oh man, you want to talk about visuals, Batista better look damn good when he comes out. He better be in some damn good shape, because he is way smaller than he's ever been.
Yeah, if they would have just taken out that segment, I would have been perfectly content with him beating up Ric Flair, him not making a couple Raw appearances, the Raw before WrestleMania, you know, says, you know, do I got your attention now? And that would have been an okay build-up. That would have been just enough. But, yeah, that stupid momentum
is
easy.
If this coming Raw, the next week, the final push, if any segment, no matter where it lands, with Batista and Triple H doesn't end with Batista standing over a prone Triple H, this program dies. I don't care if this is, you know, Triple H is going to do the job and this will be his retirement. I can think of better wrestlers to give your final match to. But if this is what that's about, that he wants Batista to be the one to send him on his way, okay, fine, whatever. It just, we're always going to say it could have been done better. But if Triple H is standing tall at the end of this coming Raw over Batista, I'll care even less. So, but like I said, I don't really give a shit about the match. So, oh man. So, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to let you guys pick. There's a lot of matches. There's 13 on the card so far, 14 because Daniel Bryan's match hasn't been settled yet. We got to talk about Kofi. Dang.
Kofi.
Oh, man.
Kofi.
That gauntlet match was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the typical booking. George, I've been asking Vic to start. Let me throw it over to you so you can recover from having to dwell on the last one. How are you feeling about the possibility of Kofi versus Daniel Bryan still?
It's going to happen. So WWE totally messed it up, but we already knew it was coming. So WWE posted on their Twitter a kind of like a hype up on their page, and it showed all the WrestleMania matches, and Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston was on one. Granted, they haven't even finished SmackDown, and they haven't really announced it, because SmackDown started off with New Day trying to quit, and I put that in quotations. Watch me, click ready. That's quit. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Contrary to the Batista Triple H, I've actually loved every single one of these promos, and you could see it, like, just the frustration in Kofi's face. Like, yes, you have Big E talking, you have Xavier Woods talking, Kofi Kingston saying little. But you can just, like, pay attention to his face. His face is the way you're going to sell, because it's just one of those, like, you could see, like, his blood is boiling and he's just ready to go off on somebody. And the way McMahon has been out, like, you know, screwing him over by not saying you're in this match, you're not going, and you got to do one more in the gauntlet. You could just, like, see his face. Even tonight, like, when Big E was talking about it, you could just see Kofi's face, like, you know, everything you're saying is true. I'm ready. You know, I'm serious and focused. So I've loved it. And if I'm not supposed to know that the WrestleMania match has been revealed, then yes, I hope that they choose him to go to WrestleMania. If I know that the match was chosen, then yes, I want him to go to WrestleMania. So, yeah.
Well, I think it has to happen. Vic, you know, this journey, this is probably one of the few matches that has been built up well. I think we all agree on that. your thoughts on where we stand, and assuming that it all goes as we hope, this could be the match of the night.
I hope so. I hope that it. I mean, it's going to happen. It's a foregone conclusion. I don't know how they're going to get there, but this will happen. And if it does, honestly, I think this angle may have been going on for longer than we may have thought it's been going on. I feel like at some point, one of the New Day was like, hey, WWE, just to let you know, we're going to be like kind of pushing Kofi to the audience. You don't have to do anything, but we're going to do it. And they've been periodically doing that throughout the year. And I think whether it is organic like that, it may not be organic. If the WWE really freaking planned that, kudos to them. But I just don't give them that much credit. So yeah, if you know, that's the case, then we've been treated to a semi old school style booking that you've been lamenting during all of our podcasts. But huge. I would love if like the culmination of, you know, all this crap that Kofi's been through is he finally just goes in by himself without the New Day. He's just pissed. You know, you see him walking through the backstage, walks in McMahon's office, freaking savages the dude, just, you know, throws him into some walls, ends up freaking grabbing a hold of his like shirt and just like, I'm in the match, just forcing him to like put him in the match. And the last thing you see is McMahon like laying there looking back at Kofi smiling.
Yeah. And
I think that's grabbing of the brass ring thing. It's almost like they're daring his character to do that. And he's almost not doing it in the way they want to. They know he can do it in the ring, but it's like that, like domination over the pride or whatever male dominated BS. But I feel like that would just be so rad if that's how it kind of culminated.
Well, you know, there's a precedent for that. There was the earlier, a few weeks ago, Vince McMahon with AJ Styles, and you know, he pushes and pushes and pushes, and AJ Styles lays him out. Yep. But as he walks away, you see the shot of Vince finally. So it's not like that hasn't happened. Not only that, think about this. Daniel Bryan's recent promo where he called Kofi Kingston a B team player is a touchback to his whole program on WrestleMania 30. Where he was told that he was a B-team player. And what if, and again, if we had the book, we'd probably produce more interesting shows. What if this all along, when it's all said and done, Kofi raises the belt and he's in league with McMahon, who still believes that Daniel Bryan is a B-team player? You know, I mean, you know, it's wishful thinking, I know. But there's a match to be had here, and I think that however we get there, the match itself will be worth the ride. And if you haven't had a chance, guys, to check out the gauntlet match from SmackDown last week, you owe it to yourself to get onto Hulu and check out that episode because, man, that was just some of the best. The wrestling was phenomenal. The storytelling was phenomenal. When you look at all the players in that gauntlet match, they all did what they were supposed to, and it made for great, great television. So make sure you guys check it out. You know, I don't care about Brock Lesnar either. So,
nice segue,
man. Yeah. I really want to care about this WrestleMania because I've always, you know, loved WrestleMania, but, like I said, we're only covering covering circumstance tonight. Dude, Brock Lesnar, this is, God, somebody talk about this match because I don't know. I don't have the words because it's just been so, this is another one that's been poorly put together, Vic.
I want to talk about this match because I am never excited about Brock Lesnar. And honestly, of all the Shield member, well, honestly, I've never really gotten into Seth Rollins so much or Roman Reigns so much since the Shield broke up. I have been, after they added the Burn It Down to his music, actually is kind of where I set that mark at. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It seems really weird. But since then, my enjoyment of his general ring style and character has increased. It's not on the back of him that I'm excited for this match. I'm excited for this match because I want the Universal title to come back to a champion who will defend it on a weekly basis or however. That's what I'm excited about. I'm excited that I hope that Brock Lesnar loses. I get that he is an attraction. I don't know if people might be bored with him in the wrestling world and he needs to go over to UFC for a while. I hate to talk bad about Brock Lesnar, to be honest, because he's, like 5,000 times the man that I will ever be. I think it's like fatigue that comes with anything. And I just don't, it's not that I even don't like Brock Lesnar anymore. I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, Vic, I want to say this, and I mean it. I'll take you in my circle of friends over Brock Lesnar any day.
thank you.
I want to kind of tag on the point you made that he's gotten boring. He's become his own NWO. Like, I don't care anymore.
Oh my goodness, that's great. That is perfect. Yes.
Go for it. I know you want to say something.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about it. I never made that specific distinction. But yeah, I think this is the same type of thing. It's just like, we need to move on, not a legit attraction in this medium anymore, but I'm sure if he went back to UFC, it would be a huge deal,
Sure.
And then, once they got sick of him, he'd come back again or, just retire, leave us all alone because we're tired of him.
Leave us all alone.
Sorry, Brock.
George, I think we all agree, but by all means, please, what are your thoughts on this match and its build?
I am actually enjoying the programs as much as we, I can agree with you that I don't want to see Brock Lesnar's face as much.
The
Universal title more. I want to see the Universal title more, but I don't want to see Brock Lesnar's face anymore. He does what he's supposed to do. Comes in, destroys whoever he's facing, leaves, doesn't come back for 3 weeks. Between those 3 weeks, Paul Heyman talks. Same old things. Final face off. The person that Brock Lesnar is going to face is going to get the upper hand, and that's how it's going to look. So I'm expecting that much. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be surprised, but that's what I'm expecting next Raw is Brock Lesnar to come back, Seth Rollins to get the upper hand, him to hold the Universal title or something like that. But legitimately, I want to see the match. I'm always intrigued, and that's why I like the Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have these smaller type guys, these faster, agile technicians versus this super beast where, he's, major powerhouse, and you believe every single move he's going to do. So I'm actually interested in the match. I could see why it's getting burnt out, and I could see why, we can agree that we don't want to see him, but at the same time, this is Brock Lesnar. I believe every single punch that he throws, every single, F5 that he delivers, I believe that it's going to hurt no matter who you are. So it's one of those where, do I want him with the Universal title? No. Do I want to see him stick around? See him every couple months, yes. So that's my take on this.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Again, I think our biggest beef is just the build. It's how it's been put together. I get that what I do love, there was to your point a moment ago, there was a promo a couple of weeks ago where Rollins basically walked through those names that you gave us. You know, Finn Balor came close, AJ Styles came close, and he used that to say, we get closer and closer. We found out the monster bleeds. And I'm going to be the one that finishes it off. And if there's anything about this match that I like, it's that you have once again that potential stitch back to several years ago when it's Reigns versus Lesnar, and at the end of the night, it's Rollins holding the title. I'm not saying that anything like that will happen. What I'm getting at is these two have been in the ring before, and Lesnar knows that however it played out, although the pinfall didn't happen to him, there's some unfinished business here. I wish they would have tied that more together. Like, you got one on me, and now you're in for your due. You really want to be in the ring with me, now you're going to. So, again, there's just so many possibilities that we see, and who knows? I mean, we will never get a glimpse into the mind of the writing team until after they retire and write books. But, you know, we are where we are, and Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins will tangle. And I mentioned to you guys off air that I know that for weeks they've been referring to their match as the main event of WrestleMania. And now with the recent announcement of the women's match being the main event, I'll be curious to see how the language changes. So very interesting. And we'll see what happens. We've got a little bit of time. So again, there's a ton of matches. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre should be relatively interesting. A couple of matches that for me are disappointing bookings. Why do I care about Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin? I mean, what?
Yeah, that's just dumb. There's nothing good about that. It's dumb.
The build up, well, not so much the build up, but I don't know. Like, so these last couple shows, Kurt Angle's faced some pretty good opponents in the past. Granted, Kurt Angle's is not as fast as he was years ago, but Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle this past Monday. What is it? Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles tonight, which that happened, and that was pretty cool for however long that match was. Kurt Angle fought, who did he fight last SmackDown? He fought, I feel like he fought like people, oh, right, he fought Chad Gable. That was a pretty cool match. He fought Apollo Crews. Apollo. He doesn't go by Crews anymore, just Apollo. I dig that. You know, it's considered his farewell tour, and this is his final WrestleMania, so I like that they're kind of giving all these wrestlers their moments, and they're giving, you know, Kurt Angle his last couple shows before he goes out permanently. So I'm digging that. I agree with the Baron Corbin thing, though. I don't know what their aim is. And if he's going to go over, I hope it's just more of like Angle Sam, Angle Lock. He's done a minute later, and, you know, he gets to, you know, right off on the sunset. But if there's anything more to that, which is WWE, I'm going to cry.
Our paragon of friggin' optimism, man. You are right about the build-up to this match. She's had some cool goodbye matches. I'm hoping something last minute is going to change something, and it's going to be like Shelton Benjamin or John Cena or, you know, somebody. What if friggin' Rock showed up or something like that? Can you imagine? People would lose their damn minds. I'm hoping something will change at last minute.
John Cena doesn't have a match right now, so there's like rumblings that, you know, John Cena versus Kurt Angle, and if that's going to happen, that would be a ginormous pop, just because it's like John Cena was Kurt Angle's, or Kurt Angle was John Cena's first opponent on SmackDown. So for it to kind of come full, you know, all the way around, that'd be pretty cool, but as of right now, they have not announced John Cena an opponent, so let the speculations run wild on you, brother.
Well, I mean, this is This is where we were last year with Cena. So, yeah. You know, I give Baron Corbin a hard time. I will say that his performance at Fastlane against the Shield, those last few minutes were yes, all the Shield, but it was all Baron Corbin. He really stepped up, and you know, I don't know what it was initially that, you know, bugged me about him. I don't know what it's going to take to get me to care about him. But I got to give him props. Fastlane, he really, he. If you look at the last few minutes of that match and that look on his face as he knows he's against all three, there's just something about his demeanor in that moment that I thought, they can do something with this guy. It's not tonight, but he was a good sport about taking all of that onto himself. And he's, man, let's face it, his character's taken a beating for months now. So it'll be interesting. Overall, I guess as we think about WrestleMania and the direction that we're heading, next week we're going to talk about each of these matches. We're going to do just a complete breakdown preview of WrestleMania 35. There won't be a five count next week. We will have one tonight. But I want to make sure that we take the time to look at each of these matches, at least in some degree, and talk about possibilities and even make predictions. The last match I want us to talk about is one that I know I'm looking forward to. And the buildup of all that we've talked about. For me, if you go just on promos, this is the match that has really, really compelled me. And it's AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. I love the idea of this match. I love the exchanges that they've had. Especially that one sort of give and take that they did a couple of weeks ago. If there's a match of the night possibility, this is another one, just because of the sheer talent and background that these two wrestlers have. I'm excited about this match. It's the main event. I would argue that WrestleMania, maybe not in the current context, this could be a WrestleMania main event. I love the idea of this match. Vic, your thoughts on AJ Styles versus Randy Orton?
I hate that I don't like it as much. I've never been a Randy Orton fan. What AJ Styles can do in the ring is amazing, and I love to watch him wrestle. His promo skills are so bad, though. like, neither of these guys really, like, I'm not all that interested in. I don't know, Randy Orton feels so slimy, like it's a real person from what I've heard. He's awful. I shouldn't be talking about this. But yeah, I'm just not a Randy Orton fan. Maybe it was Cowboy Bob who you know, put me against the entire Orton family. So if that's the case, Randy, I apologize. AJ Styles, like I said, he is a magician between the ropes, man. He's so good, but again, his personality doesn't just grab me. And I think that's an important thing to have, you know, and not every wrestler's personality is going to grab me either. So yeah. Stop judging me is all I'm saying.
Okay. We can do that. George, I don't know why I thought I'd have a different feeling from Vic, but that's why we're here. We each have our thoughts. Your thoughts on Styles versus Orton?
It's giving me that feels that you have every single WrestleMania. You need that card filler. You have those two great talents, and this is going to be that. To kind of put it into comparison. We talked about it. It was the first match to go on at the beginning of the WrestleMania, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, non-titles, just, you know, just feud and build up. And there he goes. Another one would have been Chris Jericho versus HBK. No title, just build up. There he goes. Pretty much another Chris Jericho match was, these guys are on different levels, but the three legends versus Chris Jericho, Roddy Piper, was it Snuka and Oh gosh, who was the third one? The Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. That was another one. Just the placeholders, you know, the ones where you know no matter what these guys are going to give you your money's worth. I remember I heard that promo that Randy delivered. That promo gave me goosebumps so much, just because it's like I miss that Randy Orton, the one that's, you know, the one that will get in your face, the one that just talks smack to you. AJ Styles delivered it on point, talking back. You know, he was at Randy Orton's level. It wasn't one of those where neither one got the upper hand on either one. It was pretty much level playing field. And what struck me as odd, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was one of the first promos where in a very long while where it went really well, and there was no cheap shots or any kind of, like, you know, fights at the end of the promo, which personally, right, I thought that was a really cool touch. It was, again, it was classy. It was, it showed you that these guys had admiration for each other as far as respect level, where, you know, yes, they don't like each other because of, you know, AJ Styles being the indie guy, Randy Orton being on the gold spoon level, you know, the handed everything level. But yeah, it was just, I'm really looking forward to that. Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton, that was another match that, you know, had really just a build up and no title was at stake. But that was the same WrestleMania Seth Rollins won the title at. So, yeah, irrelevant at this point. But, yeah, you guys know what I mean. There was just one of those feelings that you get, and it was rightly placed. And, yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to this match. I feel like it's going to be a show stealer on top of the Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston, the match that has not been announced yet.
Well, and I think we agree that we hope that it will be by the time this show airs tomorrow night, Wednesday night, as we are back here on the Three Dudes of Doom after a couple of weeks. We've been talking about the build-up to WrestleMania 35. We had some, you know, we were skeptics a few weeks ago. We had feelings about where we're at, and while we're still in a place where we don't think that it's necessarily been the best build, things we can't disagree that things are coming together. We have 1.5 weeks left, and you know, it's going to be exciting. Next week, we'll be doing a full card preview of WrestleMania 35. We'll also take a look at NXT TakeOver as part of next week's episode, where we will talk nothing but WrestleMania 35. For tonight, though, we put this segment to bed, and we say, all right, we'll see what happens in the next few days. We'll keep an eye on things as we head closer and closer to the big one, WrestleMania 35. All right, guys. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done this, and I'm excited to get back to it. And that is, it is time for this week's Five Count. Joining us on the show, we are happy to welcome from our WrestleManiac group, our friend, the Captain Motorboater, Bud Monofeldt. Bud, thank you so much for joining us here on the Three Dudes of Doom.
What a pleasure to be here, guys. Forgive me if my voice is a little shaky. I did a lot of yelling and screaming this weekend at a roller derby tournament and called a couple games. And, you know, and I'm also outside at a dog park, so I've got everything going against me right now.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. And I know you guys did some great work this weekend. As we get started, we always like to ask our guests to share a little bit about their wrestling fandom, when they picked it up, you know, how long they've loved it and what they love about it. And you also have a unique twist as you are involved in the business. So tell us a little bit about why you love wrestling.
Yeah, I've been a mark since I was 4 years old. I've basically been watching or absorbing professional wrestling in some way, shape or form for 40 years. I don't sound that old, but I'm really old apparently. And I got fortunate enough through getting involved in roller derby and doing some announcing from public address and broadcast to get invited to work in the business as a commentator for Dallas Championship Wrestling here in Texas. And it's been pretty awesome. Pretty awesome is pretty stupid. It's been unbelievably awesome because I'm actually a part of the show instead of just marking out for the show. So it's pretty, I mean, it's the greatest thing I've been able to do in my announcing career. Dream come true, and hopefully it'll continue to grow.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we're happy to have you be part of this show here tonight. As we get ready for tonight's five count, the rules are pretty simple. We're going to have five topics. Each of us will have a minute to talk about each topic. And if you've listened to the show, then you know that a minute is flexible, right, Vic and George?
No, no, we stick to the minute. It has to be the minute.
Lies. So...
Well, you just got to ring the bell after the minute, right? Just ring the bell?
I should. Golly, I should have thought of that. So,
hit him with the bell?
But yeah.
Did I hear hit him with the bell?
I could do that as well. So, all right. So, once again, we're going to have five topics, 1 minute apiece. We're going to do as we always do, and we'll allow our guests to go first. So, after Bud, it'll be Vic, and then George, and then myself to round it out. Five rounds, ready to roll. Here we go. Topic number one on this week's five count is simply this. They could have been a contender. Pushes that were killed due to injury. Bud?
When I first got this topic, I thought there was a number of, like, almost jump off the page folks you could have picked through this, because there were so many unfortunate careers have been cut short by injury. But the one that I couldn't get away from was Paige. And I might be topical because of the movie coming out, but I really think that she was the catalyst for revolutionizing women's professional wrestling as it stands today and what it's going to be for the future. And to see that get cut short after she'd really rebounded from some of her own mistakes and, you know, making some mistakes in the business, it just seemed like she was ready to be the face of, you know, the women's division and what it could get to. And then just like that, it was over. And now, you know, we know what it is now, and it's not terrible, but it sure isn't what it was going to be.
Yeah, indeed. If you haven't caught the film, I've heard it's pretty good. I still need to see it. But, yeah, so great answer. Thank you for getting us started. Vic Vespa.
Thanks. So mine's going to be controversial, like always, which means it's only going to be controversial to me. But I'm going with The Undertaker, which probably sounds weird since he kind of is still wrestling or isn't, I don't know. But back in the early 90s, he took on Yokozuna, and he had this rivalry with Yokozuna that would eventually culminate in a fantastic casket match. It was the Royal Rumble before WrestleMania 10. And The Undertaker just disappeared for like 8 or 9 months, I think. And it wasn't until later, like, you know, as I wasn't young, but, you know, as a huge Undertaker fan at that time, well, I was probably like preteen at that point. But, you know, the Undertaker fan in me, you know, that time frame was awful. So I don't know if it exactly qualifies, but that's what the second thing that came to my mind was after learning that somebody else took Paige.
All right. Well, so we have Paige. We have The Undertaker. George, your entry into this topic.
Okay, ready? He hails from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Mr. Kennedy. 5 seconds passes. Kennedy. There we go. How to do that. So, yeah, I was upset. I was a fan of Mr. Kennedy. He had just won the Money in the Bank briefcase, and I want to say he got taken out by a torn pectoral muscle or something to do with his arm. And sure enough, they had to take off the Money in the Bank off of him. Well, at that point, he had get lost into Edge, and that's where pretty much, you know, that's where his momentum kind of depreciated at that point. You know, he was really close to winning that, and from what all the sheets said, he was supposed to be in line for the next world title, but what would have happened, no one knows, but an injury bug hit him.
Yeah, and it hit pretty hard, so All right. So I'm going to go ahead and stick by what I had originally decided, and that was Paige as well. You know, that I think our Bud really sort of caught, you know, or hit the nail on the head in terms of that whole story. And knowing what her history had been, she'd been in the business, I think, almost a decade by the time she arrived in the WWE with, you know, heavily vested family in wrestling and having their own promotion. Her mom was her tag team partner, and it's a whole great story. Not just the movie, but if you read, you know, all of the history that's been written about her. It was disappointing that it came down to that. But at the same time, in the current climate of the WWE and of wrestling in general, they're always going to err on the side of protecting the talent. And so, you know, sad to see it happen, but happy for the memories. I remember watching the Raw in which she won the Divas title coming out on her debut, and just thinking that this is magical. This is a very talented athlete. So Paige is my answer. So we're going to move on to topic number two of this week's Five Count, and it is book a WrestleMania main event. Very topical since we're close to WrestleMania this year. Any wrestler from any era, Bud, what would you book as a WrestleMania main event?
Easily my favorite topic of this, of the five, because I want to book the ultimate face-off. Picture this. In their face prime, Hulk Hogan versus John Cena versus Sting.
Ooh.
Wow.
The ultimate good guy, super. Which one of them not only can out wrestle the other, but can out face each other in the nicest way possible?
I like it.
They would all shake hands at the same time.
And that, what does the crowd do? Like, at least, I don't know, 60% of the crowd ends up crying because their favorite face is going to get beat.
That would, and what a clash of styles that would be. I mean, yeah, I can think of a lot of things that could go. Yeah, I like that. The ultimate face-off. I'm trying to think of whether that's even still possible to pull off. Probably not. So, but good. Whoa, good choice. As I dropped something on my side.
Someone died.
Yeah, I suplexed my my phone. It went for the last ride. All right, so Vic, book a WrestleMania main event, sir.
What was that?
That was Jack Coleman just said goodbye to you, Piggy.
Oh, all right. Sorry, guys. Go ahead, Vic.
So mine is going to involve a submission match, and we're going to use the method from, I think it wasn't WrestleMania. I'm trying to remember the date when Bob Backlund and Bret Hart fought. The throw in the towel match. It would be with Bret Hart again, this time versus Daniel Bryan. And then each of their towel holders, for Daniel Bryan, it would be, of course, Brie Bella. And for Bret Hart, it would be Natalya. So that's my WrestleMania match.
So Bret Hart in his prime against Daniel Bryan. I like that. That's what a clinical match that would be in terms of mat wrestling.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind the booking of it.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. That's a WrestleMania main event I would definitely watch. George, what about you?
Okay. So sticking with the gimmicks, we're going to do another gimmick-themed WrestleMania match. It's going to be Terry Funk versus Dean Ambrose in a hardcore match. And as an Adam Edelman special guest referee, Mick Foley, but no big deal. It's Mick Foley, guys.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, like,
which
I don't know. Just, We'll go with Mankind era Mick Foley, like pre-destroys his body on the Hell in a Cell match, because, you know, that's when he still had life. After that Hell in a Cell match, he died, pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, like I would love, you know, that would have been a great match. Like, you know, Dean Ambrose, you know, he's had his good, decent matches with, you know, hardcore settings. Hasn't been fully unleashed, but with the right opponent, Terry Funk, you know, like I that would have been a pretty cool, legit match. And, you know, it would have been a great legend versus, you know, up and comer if you really wanted to, you know, build it. But yeah, the whole Mick Foley element, that would have been a pretty cool little side piece.
Yeah. Well, if you know anything about Dean Ambrose's history prior to the WWE, on the indies, a regular on CCW, Combat Zone Wrestling, which is hardcore beyond hardcore. And there's some video out there that if you can watch it and stomach it, you'll see that he put his body through some horrendous stuff in the name of pro wrestling.
Oh,
so that's something. All right, for myself, I've always been an Undertaker fan. I've always been a Sting fan, and I've always been a believer that that is the WrestleMania main event that should have happened. We're beyond that now. But I've always wished that we could, at the very least, have him in a match. I mean, it was a compelling matchup for many years. I think at this point in time, it's best to just keep it as wishful thinking. But and I'm talking about, you know, not Sting early WCW. I'm talking, you know, Sting the Crow Sting. That persona would have been a great clash with The Undertaker. So, I think it would have been a fun match. I think there would have been a lot that they could have done promo-wise that would have been really compelling. And so if it were up to me and I could get him in their prime, I would put Undertaker against Sting as a WrestleMania main event. All right, we're back to Bud. This one's a bit of a long one, so here it goes. You're a rookie in a battle royal with all major superstars from any era of wrestling. You know that because you're a rookie, there will be a heavy price to pay for what you're about to do. Which major star do you toss out of the ring?
If you're going to do something like taking a star out of the ring and you know you're going to get heat for it, you might as well go for all the heat you can possibly get. So I'm going to run in and JBL-style lariat the Nature Boy Ric Flair right out of the ring.
Oh, man.
I'll probably end up getting thrown out immediately afterwards, and I'll go straight to the back and pack my bags and get back to the indie circuit as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, there would be some price to pay for sure. Oh,
and there's
man.
No
what
doubt
Rick...
that I will yell woo on my way back too.
Oh man, you're gonna too?
Yeah, insult the injury. It's the only way to go.
Yeah. What did Ric Flair do to you, bud? Did he hurt you?
I mean, no. I love Ric Flair with all my heart. That's why he's got to go.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I might even say I'm sorry on my way over.
I was waiting for that.
Oh, man. All right, Vic, what do you got for us?
So, with this one... I have a hard time. I was going to change it initially because originally it was Hulk Hogan. And I think I'm going to stick with him. From a personal level, I would throw him over. I haven't appreciated his conduct for the last few years. And I don't care what the consequences would be. They could JBL me, you know, make me into JBL's Blue Meanie if they wanted to, that'd be fine. That guy out of the ring. So there. Hulk Hogan.
Gotcha. All right. Going for the brass ring. George, your career has just started. You've been doing great, and now you decide to take a risk. Who do you toss?
So I run from the back, and it's already in the ring. Triple H and Hornswoggle. I don't know why, but that's just the way the cards are dealt for me. So in doing so, I do the DX salute with Triple H and go like I'm going to toss out Hornswoggle. But in doing so, I turn my back on Triple H and I throw him out and I do the suck it to him while he's mad outside. And then just because I'm a heel and because I want to do that, I'm going to then throw a Hornswoggle on top of Triple H and say suck it to both of them. So in doing so, the next night on Raw, Triple H decides to come out with a sledgehammer and destroys my face. And there we go. That's how our feud starts.
And you end up on a show called The Three Dudes of Doom. So
yeah, exactly.
There we go.
You know. Yeah.
All
You don't want to you don't want me to get started. I'll start by telling you that our first match was going to be a bread and pudding match. And
oh geez. Oh man. We'll put that. We'll put a stop to that right there. Oh man. Well, for me, you know, I like the notion of just going after the biggest star possible and then just letting the chips fall. And so for me, it had to be Taker. Maven, if you know and remember who he is who inspired this question. He was the winner of the very first Tough Enough years and years ago. And Royal Rumble happened right after that show concluded, within a couple of weeks of it, if I remember correctly. And, it's time for Maven to come out. He runs from the back, goes into the ring, and almost it was kind of accidental. He ends up tossing Taker, and that was his first program after the Rumble was a few matches with Undertaker, so that Taker could get his revenge. And for me, I would have done the same. You go after the biggest dog in the yard, so to speak, and whatever happens after that point, I'll always be able to say that I tossed the Undertaker out of a battle royal. So. All right, we're on to topic number 4. Back to Bud we go. Shocking or unexpected title changes or victories?
I don't know if you want to walk back to 2001, but something really crazy happened. They had obviously taken over, the WWE has taken over WCW, and they were going to put some belts together. And so they had a triple threat match between The Rock, who had one title, Stone Cold, who had the other title, and Chris Jericho, of all people. And not a person on the planet ever suspected that the holder of both those belts at the same time for the first time was going to be, you know, than Chris Jericho. And now we look back at that 18 years later, we're like, well, of course it was Chris Jericho. He's the greatest of all time. So
yeah.
I think that was a moment that will forever be mind blowing.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, seriously. I remember it clearly. So, all right. Vic, what about you?
So mine, actually is going to be again, 1994, Survivor Series. It wasn't televised. We didn't even know about it until a day or so later, because there wasn't much of an internet back in those days, and where it takes a while to travel. And in 8 seconds, a kick, a powerbomb, and a pin, Big Daddy Cool Diesel destroys Bob Backlund, destroys him. You know, as much as I couldn't stand that guy, Bob Backlund, so much. Kevin Nash really called him out after the match, much later on down the road in an interview. And he described, you know, Backlund selling, you know, getting beaten. And he said he was crawling up the aisle after the match. And Nash said of that, he said he couldn't have put me over any stronger. And you know, honestly, as much as I couldn't freaking stand Bob Backlund at the time, he sounds like he was very good and respectful of the business, as they, I guess, would say. So good on you, Bob.
Yeah, indeed. All right, George, what do you got for us?
So this one, like, you know, in the 2000s, this was probably like a little bit more of a marquee match, but in 1997, these guys were barely being formed, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. They were barely being DX. Shawn Michaels at the time had the European title, and Triple H was just there. Sergeant Slaughter, which was a thorn in DX's side, said Shawn Michaels needed to defend the title. That whole night, I just remember all the, you know, going back and forth, and I legitimately thought they were breaking up. And then that whole time they would get a, you know, they were trying to get China to be on their side. Well, at the end of the night, after all this whole build, obviously they played a fast one, and it was another finger poke of doom situation. Not as much so, because this was the European title. And sure enough, Triple H ended up winning it, and what was hilarious about it was, you know, this was, if you look at, you know, Triple H's expression, he was like, this was like the best thing that ever happened to him. He's like, oh, I did it, I did it. HBK was throwing a tantrum inside, and then at the end, they were just kind of like joking around with Sergeant Slaughter saying, we fooled you. You know, just a little bit of aftermath, that's where Sergeant Slaughter put Triple H versus Owen Hart in in another match. But yeah, I just remember watching that whole time, and I was just like, oh my god, could this really be the end? And that's where they did the whole, you know, the finger poke, and I was like, that was pretty good.
Yeah. All right, very good. So for myself, I take you back to 1987, WrestleMania 3, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat defeats Randy Macho Man Savage for the Intercontinental title, a title that Savage had held for 414 days. That's not the match that I'm talking about, though. That's just the setup. Yep. Steamboat winning that title seemed to be a great beginning to what should have been a very long reign, and one that would have really featured Steamboat in so many different possibilities. But just a few months later, June 2nd, 1987, one Honky Tonk Man reverses a roll-up attempt by Steamboat, grabs the ropes, and 3 seconds later, he becomes the Intercontinental Champion, much to the chagrin of, everyone, and proceeds to have the longest title reign in Intercontinental Championship history. So you couldn't see it when it happened live like we could now. It was broadcast on Superstars almost a week and a half later from the date that it was recorded. And so I remember watching it and being shocked, but, you know, just out of my mind, because I was so happy Steamboat had won at WrestleMania 3. But Honky Tonk Man, Hall of Famer this year, if I'm not mistaken, is my choice for shocking title change. So there we go. All right, we're on to the final topic of tonight's Five Counts, and back to Bud we go. Favorite famous feuds over the course of your fandom, what for you is your favorite famous feud?
This is my second favorite topic. I mean, I did enjoy being a rookie, don't get me wrong, that was fun. But I love a good feud, and I think the feud that transcended not only a part of wrestling, you know, a division of wrestling, but how we watch wrestling moving forward, is the feud between the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys. They brought us, TLC as we know it. They brought us so many holy shit moments that I'm pretty sure that the term holy shit comes from their rivalry. I've never wanted to be thrown through a table more in my life than I have watching those guys go at it. And that's the feud of all feuds.
All right. Definitely one for the history books. All right, Big Vespa, what do you got?
I'm going to go back a little bit further than 94 anymore. I'm going to stop talking about that. We're going to talk about Rowdy Roddy Piper and the Super Fly, Jimmy Snuka. I was just getting into wrestling right around the coconut to the head shtick was happening. And that was a scandal. And the match that really sticks out for those two to me, because I know they had quite a few matches between 84 and 85. And I think even later on, George was talking about the match earlier in the podcast. But I'll get to what I'm talking about. The match at Madison Square Garden on July 15th, 1984. Go back and watch it. It's somewhere in outer internet land. In that match, you really got to witness Jimmy Snuka as a true high flyer. You know, they always showcased his splash, but man, he was doing some crazy things in the match. The steel chair to the forehead and getting busted open. I was a little kid when I saw that match. This guy was bleeding all over the place. You know, it was, you know, shocking, and I wanted to see more of it. And I don't know what that says about me as a person, but that feud, probably culminating with that match, was really my pick.
A historic one indeed. All right, George, talk to us.
To cut in, this is my minute. It's going to go towards my minute also that doesn't exist. Kofi Kingston is going to WrestleMania. He just, the New Day did the Gauntlet match and they won their Gauntlet match. And yeah, Kofi Kingston is now going to WrestleMania. So, boom. Favorite feud. I'm going to have to go with HBK versus Chris Jericho. As many times as they wrestle each other, I really dug it. Everything from at one point, Chris Jericho threw HBK inside of the Jerichon 3000 or whatever it's called, and he, you know, got the glass in his eye and whatever. And then there was a time where Chris Jericho punched HBK's wife in the face. Yeah, I don't know. HBK's wife got punched in the face. So that was also a moment. And then, of course, the WrestleMania match where, you know, they embraced and then Chris Jericho kicked them in the little HBKs. and, you know, they had that little heartfelt moment right there. But, yeah, like you look at that whole time that HBK was still wrestling and Chris Jericho was fighting Stone. Actively, they complemented each other's style, very similar, and yes, that was just one of my favorite feuds that lasted over those years.
Yeah,
good one.
All right. So you guys, over and over and over, you hear me talk about the fact that I'm a traditionalist when it comes to pro wrestling, and so I have to go old school on you guys yet again. For my choice, and that is, out of all the feuds that I've gotten to watch over the course of my fandom, if you think about all the Four Horsemen feuds they had, and, you know, feuds like Savage and Steamboat, and, you know, just so many over the years, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, the list goes on. I have to say that I will always have on the top of my list the Von Erichs versus the Freebirds, World Class Championship Wrestling out of Dallas, Texas. The old Sportatorium was the site of many, many matches between the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. And so if you ever get a chance to, guys, you can actually see pretty much the entire World Class Championship Wrestling library. If you want to talk about or if you want to watch wrestling that was literally, I mean, legit in terms of they held nothing back in terms of, you know, whether it was pulling punches or whatever the case might be, these, the Von Erich family and the Freebirds, you know, you just watch those matches and you're going to be amazed at the brutality, and yet the stories that were told, by these two factions, year after year, and it never got old. That was the cool part about the feud, is that it could go away for a little while. And but this is back in the territory days, so all that had to happen was that with the Von Erichs being the staple of World Class, all that had to happen was the Freebirds return after being gone a while, and you could jump right back into that feud and still enjoy any, you know, particular rendition of it. And so for me, it falls old school once again, and the Von Erichs versus the Freebirds will always be my favorite feud. All right. Well, that's another five count in the books. But thank you so much for joining us, man. We wish you well in your wrestling endeavors and all other things that you do. Thanks so much for joining us.
Dude, man, thanks for having me on, and you guys have a great night.
Oh, I have to ask you, is there any particular match that you're looking forward to at WrestleMania this year?
Man. Like y'all talked about earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't interested in anything. I was probably just going to sit at home in my, and find a hot tub to drown myself in. But then things started to pick up, and I would say I'm now finally put myself in a position where I'm going to accept the triple threat match for the women's championship, since it is going to be the first women's main event at WrestleMania. I've got that to be hyped for.
All right. Well, we wish you a happy WrestleMania, and we'll have you back sometime soon, hopefully here on the Three Dudes of Doom.
Thanks, brothers.
Final thoughts here on this week's episode of the Three Dudes of Doom. Vic, George, we covered a lot of ground. We sort of talked about the current state of WrestleMania. George, if you could kind of update us a little bit on the Kofi Kingston situation, if you have a little more detail for us so we can know what's happening.
Yeah, so at the beginning of SmackDown, it was decided by Vince McMahon that it would be the New Day, Xavier Woods and Big E, fighting in a tag team gauntlet match. I'm sad that who they put him up against, at least the first pick, which was the Gallows and Anderson, and they lost within a few minutes, and that kind of made me sad. But then they beat Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev, which I was happy. They beat the Bar, and then a total class act. The Usos came out, said, you know, we fought you, we have mad respect for you. Instead of fighting you, we're just going to go ahead and forfeit our match. And that's where they fought Daniel Bryan versus Eric Rowan. And after a countout, that's where the New Day got it. And yes, Kofi Kingston is going to that of the WrestleMania.
The entire New Day got involved in this journey, and so we're going to see the match that many of us wanted. And we are part of the larger universe of people that wanted this match. Kofi Kingston will take on Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 35. Vic Vespa, so much to look forward to. Any final thoughts on all that we've discussed tonight?
Hey, I was going to say, you mentioned the Von Erichs earlier, I believe, did you not?
Yep.
Well, some of their, I don't know, progeny might not be the right word, but Ross and Marshall Von Erich will be at an upcoming local wrestling show, I just found out.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting.
If you know any of the history of World Class Championship Wrestling, there was one Lance Von Erich who was said to be a cousin, but we found out he was an imposter. So I hope his progeny are actually real progeny.
I hope so, too. I would imagine. You can't take the name. Like there are some names that are off limits. Like, you can't be a Hart. Unless
yeah,
you're a Hart. You know, it's like, I don't know. Some things are sacred, man.
That's true. Very true. Guys, before I forget, Hart Foundation going into the Hall of Fame. George, give us a quick thought on that, and Vic, if you would as well.
I guess you could say I got a heart attack. Get it?
Oh, get it? Man. You are fired.
Get it? I was excited. I definitely liked them. I like their early stuff just because of Jimmy Hart. You know, how big that faction grew over time with the rest of the Hart family. But the fact that you got Jim the Anvil Neidhart going in with Bret Hart, two-time Hall of Famer now, Bret Hart, and then just that little moment that they had with, was it Natty Neidhart on Monday Night Raw, that definitely was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm excited. They are a great tag team to be inducted with Harlem Heat and the DX.
Vic, your thoughts?
Oh man, Yeah, long time coming for me. You know my feelings on the Hart Foundation. They're one of the reasons why I watch wrestling now. And George is so right about early heel Hart Foundation. It was so wonderful when Bret Hart had the little I think they call them T-shades, instead of the weird futuristic pink strap thing. And Jim Neidhart, God bless that man. He was so damn entertaining. His laugh could be good or bad. It was great either way. And he was a hell of a heel, but man, when he was good, he had a heart of gold. I could talk all night, and I know we got to end this because I was the one who said we should probably keep him shorter because people have short attention spans. Sorry, I'm going to break the third wall. But yes, super happy for the Hart Foundation. The whole Hart family, they had a lot of bumps, I think. And I think, I don't know, I feel like I hope things like this help them heal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, the Hart Foundation, for me, the biggest memory I have of them, and it's just so many, but the one that I love to watch now and again is their WrestleMania 3 match when they had their own referee, Danny Davis. If you don't know the story, guys, go check it out.
Danny the Hart Davis. Foundation,
yeah, versus the British Bulldogs and Tito Santana was the culmination of their feud where Danny Davis, as a referee, sort of became their own personal referee and you know, enabled them to win the tag titles. And just a great story and old school again. Just they don't do it like that anymore. But yeah, so great to see the Hart Foundation go in. And man, guys, this is the year of 2-time inductees. I mean, Harlem Heat, the Generation X, the Hart Foundation. You know, it's just several that are now 2-time inductees into the Hall of Fame. So it should be an interesting night. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a couple of weeks just to see what all came about. So, guys, thank you so much. I'm glad that we're back on track. It's been a couple of weeks. I've missed you guys, but I really had a great time tonight. So kudos to the three dudes of doom, guys.
We are back, Internet. We are back!
Right. I think the internet heard you.
Yeah. I always love George. You've got that sort of little fly, like, yeah, okay. But no, it's always fun. And we want to say thank you to all of you who take the time to listen to us. We really enjoy doing this for you. And we look forward to next time. And of course, as we always say, we encourage you to get out there and support local wrestling. You just might be able to be the one to say you saw Tomorrow Stars first. Have a great week. We'll see you 1 week from WrestleMania with our next three dudes of doom.